This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Joining me on Stockbox today is Andrew Bell, the CEO of Red Rock Resources. Andrew, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Mark?
Yes, I'm doing quite well as well. Andrew, I believe you have been just arrived back in the UK after some travelling.
I've visited two red zone countries and then what they call an amber one before getting back here. So I managed to somehow or other work my way around the restrictions and visit the things I needed to visit.
Okay, good. Well, we'll get an update from you across the portfolio of Red Rock Resources in a moment. But first of all, there has been some news recently, and that's the spin-off from Jupiter Mines with the listing of Juno Mining, and that's listed on the ASX with the ticker JNO. So what can you tell us about this? I know you've mentioned it before, and it's been a long time coming. So what can you tell us about it?
It's tremendously good news for us in particular at Red Rock, because of course we have the royalty over the Mount Ida iron ore asset that we put into Jupiter all those years ago. I mean, Mount Ida was one of the assets that Red Rock listed with back in 2005. So that's one thing people should be aware of with us, is that we do stick with things long-term and work situations. And there's going to be other examples of that, I think, later this year. But obviously Jupiter's been a very successful a manganese company and is the biggest exporter to China from South Africa. It has an 80 plus year resource and is one of the cheapest producers in the world. So it's been like a money printing press. But because of the very high rate of return, the high payout ratio at Jupiter, it never seemed sensible within Jupiter to be spending money developing the iron ore assets. That's a distraction. And so we were always keen to see, in the last few years, keen to see it being spun out, and the iron ore prices in the last year having allowed for that possibility. And you looked at the comparators, and there were maybe average market cap of 60 million Australian. So we started the process of spinning it out, and we put a value of $20 million, I think, of the assets, put in $5 million of cash there, and then raised a bit of money, a few million dollars from the market, started trading last Friday. And I think by this time, with iron ore prices in the last week or so hitting new highs over $200, people realizing that the demand for iron ore that's sustaining the market isn't just China anymore, it's all the industrialized countries with their infrastructure spending plans. And in order to bring new iron ore projects on stream, you need these prices. People have now realized the prospects are actually quite good for iron ore. And so the comparators, I think if you looked at their prices today, the average comparator would be over $100 million. And so Juno listed on Friday, was down 30% on the first day from 25 cents to 17. Now, why was that? Well, obviously because most of the shareholders got their shares by distribution. They weren't volunteers for holding Juno. Some of them, say, index funds that invested in Jupiter because it's in the index, or big institutions that had certain criteria for size of their investments, would immediately have to sell straight away. Well, 3 days later, 60% of the freely traded stock has actually traded. The second day, the price went back up to 22 cents. Today, it shot up to 29 cents, 4 cents above the issue price, and big volume. And at the close, it was pushed down and ended up just around the issue price. But there's a Chinese investment company that has now built up a near 5% stake. So, there's stirring in the bushes. I think the prospects are looking very good. If, as the management has said, that we can bring the Mount Mason hematite resource into production by January next year, then we should be producing 500,000 tons of hematite, going up to 1 million tons of hematite. And that will produce profits anywhere near current prices that will make today's price look ridiculous. I mean, whatever today's market capitalization is, we'll be looking at those kind of numbers or more or slightly less as the dividend.
Mm. And of course, one of the big things with Jupiter was that dividend that you regularly got and still do from them into Red Rock. So yeah. A similar situation with Juno, do you think?
Well, I think what you can say is that the team of Brian Gilbertson, ex-CEO of BHP, and Priyank Thapliyal, the chief executive of Jupiter, who's worked with Brian for some years now, they not only brought the South African manganese asset into production pretty much on budget and on time, but have run it extremely well, keeping costs down since, with, I think, a return on assets, return on equity, 28% a year, and a payout ratio of near 90%. That really finely tuned operation, the same team, more or less, plus Greg Dirac, who used to be the chief executive of Jupiter when I was first involved with it, and is a local to Western Australia. This and really knows the ports, the railways, the situation there, all the infrastructure, things you have to get right for iron ore. I think that team can do what they say they're going to do and bring it into production by beginning of next year. And what is going to be particularly interesting for us as Red Rock shareholders is that in order to increase the length of life of the hematite asset, the direct shipping ore, longer term, of course, there's a 2.1 billion, 2.3 billion ton magnetite asset we want to see developed, I think can be developed, but that's a longer term project. But some of the Mount Ida mineralization was to near hematite grade, and with a little bit of beneficiation, will be at that grade. And that can extend the life of the hematite Mount Mason operation. And the moment you touch that, you trigger the royalty payments to us from a party that bought part of our royalty $8 million would come into Red Rock. And it would also start to receive royalties. So apart from the fact that Juno is a company with the potential to go up 5 to 10 times in the next year, you have also got that royalty potential, which is looking much more real now that Juno has gotten independent existence and is really bringing this Mount Mason project into production. You have then the prospect of us receiving a royalty income stream as well.
Okay, and what is Red Rock's exposure to Juno?
We have about 1.4 million shares. We got 800,000 of the distribution to the Jupiter shareholders, and we just applied for a few more at the time of the listing because it's just such a good investment that we get a regular, obviously 20% plus return from Jupiter through dividends. And I think that's a very defensive investment. Juno is also a very defensive investment. The chances of it going down much seem low, but it's got huge upside. So we just very, very slightly the margin altered the balance of our holdings between Jupiter and Juno. Because we are really engaged. We want to see Juno succeed. Because if those iron ore assets come along and come into production, first Mount Mason and then Mount Ida, we are going to make a great deal of money. The hour has come for iron ore, and the hour has come for Red Rock and for Juno.
Okay. And as we said at the start of the interview, Andrew, you have been traveling. So any updates from the rest of the projects that Red Rock are involved with?
The Benin coastal oil investment, where we have a small holding. When we got that a few years ago, people were quick to criticize. But the reason we held it, and we've held it for those years, is because we knew it was a really good asset. Well, that asset is now, the plans are well advanced to for it to be floated off on NASDAQ within the next 2 or 3 months. And we hope and believe that is actually going to happen. And the potential then, I can't talk too much about it because I've been told some things that are not yet in the public domain. But we have every expectation that this will be another investment where the downside will be little, but the upside will be order of magnitude increase in value. So two things coming right there. A third listing we expect to see this year is, of course, the Australian joint venture assets. So we've got three things that are happening in fairly quick succession that are going to add enormous value to the portfolio and increase its sort of fungibility, its liquidity. At the same time, we have three drill programs, one which will be starting fairly shortly, we believe, in Congo. We've got a drill, a quote for that. Another where we put out terms of reference for a drill program in Kenya, and then a little later in the year in Australia. So this is shaping up to be a very interesting year, but everything is positive. No negatives in sight at the moment.
Okay. Well, Andrew Bell, the CEO of Red Rock Resources, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews, and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching @StockboxMedia.